Good evening. Town of Alberton Council meeting for June 2nd, 2026. Meeting now at 7 p.m. is called to order. Jaylen, would you like to do a roll call?
President Timothy Fox.
Present.
Vice President Sharon Briggs. Absent. Councilmember Kyle Cerencioni.
Present.
Mayor Lorene Felstead.
Present.
Clerk Treasurer Jaylen Rowley. Present. Deputy Clerk Treasurer Shannon Cuneo.
Present.
Public Works Manager Charlie Jenkins.
Present.
Okay, we have a quorum, and just to confirm, a quorum is based on the seated number of council people. We are down one member, so we actually have four seats. Three are filled at the time, so a quorum is two. So, any of you who have a little past experience with us, you know that we were confused about that just a few minutes back. So, we now know this is the case. So, next item on the agenda is to rise for the pledge of allegiance.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. So, before we start the rest of the meeting, we have a spot here at the beginning for public comment. And so the public comment will be kept to a minimum of 3 minutes per person.
Maximum.
Thank you.
We'll be here all night.
Public comment will be 3 minutes, and also, please not interrupt, but we'll go with that one.
Sorry.
You're fine. So I know you have public comment if you'd like to go ahead and go first.
Thank you.
You're most welcome.
So,
could you state your name for the record?
I was going to. My name's Sally Button. I'm a button, but D is a dog. That's D to do on G and where I'm going to.
Yep.
So I'm the host at French Town Pond.
Thank you.
And I have the address if you need it later.
Thank you.
So, all right. I'm going to take off my glasses. Good evening, Council Mayor. Thank you for your time. I already said my name. I'm a local vendor at the Farmers Market. First, I want to express my sincere appreciation to the town for keeping it free and fully accessible to anyone who wants to sell, because I come with my kiddos, who do tough mama salts. Having a low barrier, free space is a wonderful asset that truly shows the spirit and talent of Alberton. Because we want to protect and grow this valuable asset without placing financial management or burden on the town, I'm here to address our market's visibility. Last time we had the market, I know there was stuff going on here, but there was nothing like for the farmer's market. I'm here to address our market visibility. Currently, we lack high visibility marketing, and I have two specific questions. First is regarding town funds. I wanted to follow up and see if any town funds have been previously approved or designated for community market signage, and if so, what the timeline or process looks like to utilize them. And then second, regarding a self-funded solution, if there's no budget available, I don't want reading things off, but time is of the essence, so that's why I'm sticking to this. I'm completely prepared to design, construct, and fund a high-quality directional sign out of my own pocket. If I take on this cost, what is the proper protocol to obtain permission for temporary placements, such as an A-frame sign, or you know what you have in like cafes, that we can have near the right way, right way or center of the street, and it would be put up right, you know, before the market and taken down. So afterwards, because quite frankly, I'm on a timeline too, because I'm post there, so I have to make sure I'm back in time. So our goal as vendors is to boost attendance for our local folks while staying completely in line with safety codes and town ordinances. I welcome any immediate updates or guidance you have tonight, or I'm more than happy to follow up with the town clerk tomorrow following to fill out any necessary permit applications.
Perfect. Thank you, Sally. I appreciate your comment. If you could, please, as you ask, to follow up with the clerk, and then she can address your questions at that time.
Okay. And who's the clerk?
You!
Okay.
It's the main clerk, too.
Okay.
Additional public comment for items not on the agenda. And I'm required to ask three times, and so additional comments not on the agenda, for items not on the agenda. Okay, hearing none, then we will move on to the next agenda item, and that is our review and motions to approve. Because we have so many items on the agenda, we wanted to take some time in meeting minutes was one thing, and also to say that we weren't exactly ready with them because we had such a busy month this last month, and then here we are again this month. So we will visit you next month at our meeting in July, which is the 7th, with the meeting minutes for May, as well as this evening's minutes. For the claims and payroll, which the two council members here at the table are reviewing, we have payroll in the amount of $21,021.35. And then the balance of the claims are $34,476.71.
Yeah, I'm just trying to make sure these numbers make sense, because that's kind of a high number. So
we've got two loan payments in there, Tim, that are not, they only happen once every 6 months. So it is higher than normal.
And is what to be recognized by the chair?
Gotcha.
Now, Tim could ask you a question. And yes, perfect. We are in the process of streamlining this a little bit, and that the majority of this, like pretty much the whole packet, will be available online. So the community can get a copy of it, anybody who's interested can get a copy, and that would facilitate being able to review this information in advance better. But I'll just say it again, we had training first week of May, we had a council meeting every week of the month, even though one of them didn't actually happen, and we just came from a training yesterday. So, thank you for your patience. I'll give the council members a moment to verify.
Can you check in on
your good?
Yeah. No problem.
I'm just checking with him. All right. Well, I'll move to approve these claims and payroll.
I'll second.
So, claims and payroll has been motioned by Tim, seconded by Kyle. Jillian, roll call.
Kyle. Yeah, your name.
Oh, yeah.
Tim?
Yes.
So, claims and payroll has been approved for the month of May. And we will move on then to quarterly reports. We haven't heard from the fire district in a while, so I'm really happy the chief is here this evening with a report from the fire district. This is Frenchtown Rural Fire District.
Hi, everyone. My name is Damian Frisby. I'm the fire chief for Frenchtown Rural Fire District. Happy to report that everything's been pretty quiet lately. We'd like to keep it that way. Some of the increases that we're going to see as things progress, obviously we've had a lot of growth with the rain. Keep it coming. We want the rain. But with that, we get growth. And if we get a quick dry out and everything dries up pretty good, that means we have more fuel. So be careful as we finish up our burning this year and where we're burning, making sure we're putting stuff out and taking care of it appropriately. We actually have had a few escape control burns, nothing big, but it is happening and it continues to happen and will get worse as things dry out. Roadways have been fairly good because we just really haven't had the weather. So with that, a little bit better conditions on the roadway, no major accidents or anything like that. No major fires to report. Keep up all the work on debris burning and get things cleaned up and burned as much as you can while we still have the opportunity to. And just appreciate everybody's diligence on maintaining their property, because every time you guys maintain your property, makes it easier for us to protect it when it comes time for it. Any questions about anything? No, it's not much.
Is there a deadline for how long we can burn?
It's going to come up depending on the weather forecast. Yeah, so once we start reaching that mid-level moderate fire danger, we'll start getting more chances of burning being shut down. But it'll typically be a decision by the county fire marshal, the county fire officials and Forest Service. We all get together, decide what we want to do, depending on the weather and what the forecasts are. And once that happens, it'll probably be shut down for good. That can cause problems because, you know, like last year, July 4th, we had heavy rain. Well, why can't we burn? It's just too hard to go in and out of burn restrictions. And it's a lot easier to just say, okay, we're done for a little bit right now.
Anyone else have questions, comments for the chief?
As far as burn permits go, do you have a physical copy of them?
I'm sorry, could you state your name for the record?
Apple. Thank you. Do you have to have a physical copy of the burn permit, or is it just okay if you have it on your phone?
On your phone is just fine. Yeah, so what we recommend is when you guys do your burn permits, just take a screenshot showing that you activated it. The biggest thing for us is when you activate it and we get that call, you know, like we've got smoke showing back over here right now, and people will drive by on Interstate 90, a lot of people from out of the area, oh, we see smoke. We can pull up the burn map real quick and just see that, okay, no, we're not as worried about it. Obviously, this time of year, we're not as worried about it to begin with, but then we can compare the map, make sure everything's good, and go from there. So that's the biggest thing, is it really helps us out to determine how we respond and what kind of resources we commit to something, instead of having to bring everybody to find out, oh, I just didn't get around to activating it today. So it's more of a benefit for resources. But yes, screenshot on your phone is just fine.
Good question. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you, Chief.
All right, thank you.
Appreciate
you being here. You're welcome.
And next on the docket is the Sheriff's Office report, and we have Sheriff Ryan Funk here.
So, the love of your faces, Sheriff Ryan Funk, I'm going to piggyback on the Chief's. This morning it took me about 30-35 minutes to locate some smoke in St. Regis. So, make sure those are activated, because our dispatch, when I contact them, like, this is the area I see smoke, they have that map up also, so they can stop us from headed that way. May was a super busy month for us. We had 104 calls, normally around 80 is average. We did 20 traffic stops, 18 civil papers, and then 10 business contacts. Really been high on like bar checks, being more visible in the night hours. And we were even short of deputies, so it could have even been higher. But we had one guy out on medical leave. But yeah, just overall busy month for us. There's a lot of calls down here. So, any questions? Anybody out here?
Yeah, copy of your report.
Oh, I got one right.
Yeah, you have one.
Okay.
Or I'll get you one.
Appreciate it.
I have a question, Connie Hart. I'm just curious. We have had one camper, now two campers down here on the pull off that are obviously staying again tonight.
Okay.
You know the situation.
I don't, but I can stop on the way out.
I'd appreciate that.
Yep, and that's one thing. As long as we're made aware of it, we can stop in and talk.
One camper's been there 2, maybe 3 days.
Okay.
But the other one just showed up a little bit ago, and they're
camping out.
Yep.
Okay.
Their sliders are out, and yeah.
Okay. I will stop on my way out of town, and hopefully they go down the road. All right.
It's a breakdown, and you know, they need a day or two to get settled or fixed or whatever. Like,
yep.
I understand that. But.
Yep. You got it. Anybody else? All right.
Thank you, Ryan.
Thank you.
Wonderful. Yeah, thank you, Sheriff.
And the county planner, normally the county attorney, are here this evening, so we will skip forward then to. And I'm going to keep my report short this evening because I'm going to be giving my time to Jenny Donkall, as you can see on the agenda. So one of the things I wanted to report on is last month that I had talked about the utility billing, and I didn't have a total last month, but that there were 35 people on the list, and these are the plus 60s past due, totaling $18,189.69. Now, as of this month, we have 14 people on the list, so that's less than half, for $12,732.56. So we've been working really hard on this. With Shannon's help, we crafted a letter and sent out to the people that were in arrears. And so the letter's on the back for the council members, alerting them of their outstanding balance, letting them know that this is their final notice, because I had contacted people personally last month. This month I sent them a letter. This went out with their utility billing, and letting them know that our fiscal year ends June 30th and that we need to have some communication from these people. So it's a concerning situation because now that we're down to the final 14, it's those that are really having the most difficult time with the payments. And so we will have to be putting liens on property, and hopefully we will hear from these people so that we don't have to take that step. But it's what we've had to do in the past, and what we have to do in order to be fiscally responsible, because this is the money in which our town operates, aside from taxes and whatnot. This is the main revenue that we have to operate with. Does anybody have a question regarding? Yes, sir, and I don't know your name.
My name is Greg. I live down in Hickory.
Greg?
Yep, Greg Hoover. What utilities are we speaking of? Water?
We are a water district. So yes, these utilities are the water bill, water sewer.
So 14
people
owe $14,000?
14 people owe $12,732.56. Yes. So some of the people have rather large bills. Some of them are not as large, but yeah. And these are all 60 plus days past due. So, you're welcome. Thank you for asking the question. These people have been called, and they're aware.
Sally Gottman. So, are their water turned off then? Like, how long are they allowed to go past due before you guys actually shut off your water? Because I'm from originally Halsted, Missouri, and after your final notice in like 2 months, your water's going to be shut off.
Right.
So I was just curious, for Alberton, what is the cutoff?
Well, we...
For services.
We are working on that policy.
Okay.
We have a policy on the books, but because it hasn't been enforced, we're working with talking with the people first, and now step two is getting this letter that...
The water bill is continuing to get higher because they still have the services and not paying?
Indeed.
Okay.
And one of the homes happens to be in foreclosure as well.
Uh-huh.
So that one
okay.
will likely be the first one shut off. But there is protocol that we need to follow, and there are issues that we have newly discovered to shutting off, mostly in the winter.
Oh, okay.
We have to think of all the parts. So I mentioned,
Thank you.
Okay, you're
yes.
most welcome. Did anyone else have a question regarding that part? I was going to move on to training. So Sharon, myself, and the two clerks attended training yesterday, and I just wanted to share with the two other council members here, since we're missing Sharon, and these two packets are for each of you. So Yesterday's training had to do with an overview of the roles and responsibilities of key actors in municipal government, which includes the council, the mayor, or council president, presiding officer, clerk, and administrative staff. So it's unfortunate that only Sharon attended, because this is really valuable information. So I've included in the packet that I've just handed to the two council members here present this evening, because Sharon already has it, is a motion reference sheet based on what type of motion that you'd like to make, suggested what you say, and then whether or not it can be interrupted, if it's debatable, amendable, and then whether a vote is required. Then I also have a sheet regarding the municipal officer's roles and responsibilities that calls out the mayor's duties, which is the executive form of this government, the council, which is the legislative form of this government, the municipal clerks, the treasurer, which in this case happens to be the same person, our city attorney, and then our department heads, so for reference on how things work. A little narrative about our town, particularly form of government. Any of this information that the public would be interested in, please come to the office tomorrow. Be happy to make a copy. And I also have a code of ethics little booklet that was provided at the training as well. That's really quite informative in terms of how we work together, what our roles are, what our liabilities are, and good stuff like that. So I really appreciate that the town is sending us to these trainings and the things that we are learning. Does anyone have a question or a comment? Council, did you have anything you want to say?
No.
Okay. Missed you yesterday. Hopefully next time.
Yeah.
And if it, and work. Yeah, I know. You guys are, you work a lot. Okay. So I'd like to turn over my space and the rest of my report to Jamie Johncall from Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, who will do a bear activity report.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Again, yeah, Jamie Johncall, Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks. I'm part of the Region 2 Bear and Blind Mountain, or Mountain Lion Management Team. I work with three other guys. We're all in Region 2. We've already had more bear conflicts this month of May than we had all of last year. Missoula's going nuts. The bitterroot's going nuts. We're quite fearful that these frosts we had earlier in the month might have damaged, you know, our chokecherry blossoms, serviceberry blossoms, and hawthorn blossoms. But last year, we just had an excellent food year, and so we hardly had any conflicts at all last year. So if May is any indication, I'm fearful that we might be in for a hell year. And if we did you know, lose a lot of our chokecherry and serviceberry and hawthorn, and I believe folks have indicated that a lot of their fruit trees, apricot, apple, pear, were damaged with that frost, we could be in for a hell year like we had in 2022. I sure hope not. Let's see, so for black bear activity, you know, in the Missoula area, we've probably got 20 plus bears working the whole Missoula Valley. In this area, in the 9 mile, in the 6 mile country, we have about four, maybe five different black bears, you know, that have been reported getting into chickens, getting into bird feeders, garbage, you name it. Up here in Petty Creek, we had a female black bear with cubs of the year that actually got into Airbnb's place in Lower Petty Creek. They had a bunch of dog food and snacks in their food pantry, and she actually broke into the pantry and got quite a food reward. Eli Hampson, one of the guys I work with, responded, and put up an electric fence, and she got a pretty good shock, and she hasn't come back yet. Also up Petty Creek, got a video a while back of a lone black bear in a yard area with what looked like a kind of a withered up goat that had maybe died this winter, and kind of pulled it and jerked around the yard. They had it on video. We got one call from Alberton over the Mountain Creek area, or the Mountain Drive area. It was kind of one of these kind of messages. It was real cryptic, not much information. It sounded like they had a black bear over there, but we tried calling multiple times and haven't been able to get in touch with them. So right now here in Alberton, that's all we know of for black bear. Lion activity is pretty steady all over Region 2. We've been getting a ton of calls about, mule deer, whitetail, et cetera, being killed in front pastures and cached by lions, family groups, et cetera. Fawning is about to happen. Elk calving is about to happen. So no doubt, for these urban sort of deer herds, we'll be getting a lot of lion and bear activity hunting the elk calves and the fawns. So we've had, the last 8 to 10 years, quite a bit of grizzly activity, all on the sort of the north side of I-90. So, this 9 mile range, Frenchtown face, the North Hills in Missoula. Right now, we estimate that we have probably 10 different grizzlies that are working, the North Hills and the Frenchtown face. They travel extensively. Most of our bears that are showing up in this country are coming out of the missions, post-crit, pro-crit. They're getting down into the river bottoms and then following the Flathead River downstream to those great big islands, around Perma. And they're bountiful food sources on those islands, especially in the fall. chilcherry, hawthorn, etc. Well, a lot of those bears then, continue south and have recolonized, the North Hills and Missoula, the Rattlesnake Wilderness, and then, the 9 Mile Range. And here in the 9 Mile Alberton area right now, we know of at least three lone grizzlies, which we assume are males. One of those just got shot and killed last week on the week and a half on the 21st. It was a little 3-year-old male. He was shot up 6 Mile Creek. It's under investigation, so I can't go into too many details, but basically, we have a lot of black bears working 6 Mile Creek here. And one of the neighbors called the landowner and said, "Hey, I saw a black bear with a chicken in its mouth." They had about 50, 60 free-ranging chickens running around. And so I think, in their mind, they're like, "Oh, easy black bear season, tag it." Later that same day, they heard, some ruckus out in the yard and went out there with a rifle and saw a bear and shot it. And when they walked out there and turned it over, it was a little grizzly bear. You're welcome to look that and pass it around to the group if you'd like to. Estimated he was 3 years old, probably weighed 200 pounds. Got permission from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to skin and salt him and save the skull. And so we're going to get that hide and skull here for the Alberton town, a bear box for the school. That'll be shared then hopefully with Frenchtown too, because Frenchtown's been wanting a grizzly hide and a skull for a while. Besides that little guy, we've had multiple reports, over the last 4 or 5 years of several bigger grizzlies, probably in the 5 to 8 year old range. And they travel lightly. They're up and down, 9 Mile Creek. You can go over into that Mill Creek country and then along the divide here up Stark Mountain. But we've recently received reports of a female with cubs this year. I've talked to two different hunters who have observed the bear. You know, and they're pretty sure it's a grizzly, and I do believe them, but without that photograph, we can't verify it. But they've been running into them up in Kennedy, Butler, and then I heard Rennick, too. Someone ran into them, and Rennick's basically, if you go right up West Mountain Creek and up to the 9 Mile Divide, just on the other side is Rennick Creek, where that pass is. And supposedly that guy has a photograph, but I haven't been able to round him up yet. I've talked to like three or four people that have seen the photograph, you know, and they're like, yeah, definitely grizzly. So any of you know him, I'll let him know I'd love to see that, and then we can verify it. Well, golly, so I'm keeping my fingers crossed that we don't have a food failure year. The last food failure year we had in Alberton area was 2022. And I don't know if you remember that. That was pretty crazy. We had four or five bears running around. That's when the one bear was shot by the post office. And then we had that one house break in where the bear got inside the house and was in a little kid's room. Thank goodness the bear got back out. But yeah, potential that we could have a bad year this year. The average having a food failure in this part of Region 2 about every 7 years. And when you have a natural food failure, you know, they kind of get desperate. It's like a hard winter for elk and deer. You know, when the snow's so deep and so cold, you know, they get desperate and they come down into those lower reaches of the more important winter ranges and starve, start eating in people's yards, day bedding in people's back pastures right down in the valley floor here. Bears are like that in the summer and spring and fall when we have a food failure here. But that's it. If anyone has any questions, I'm more than happy to answer.
Yeah, Garth. What about that sow that we, the last couple of years, been coming right down to the highway here, and she had those cubs that split off? Was that one of those cubs from last year, you think?
You know, could be. You know, when they're 2 or 3 years, or when they're 3 years old and booted out, you know, like, you get over in that Mission Valley, there's a lot of grizzlies over there anymore. So, you know, when mom says get lost, a lot of them do start traveling. And this little bear that was killed could have come from there. Or, in the last, you know, decade, we verified adult females with young here in the 9 Mile Super. Mm-hmm. So it could have been one of the offspring of one of those females as well.
Have you seen her this year? I haven't heard.
So that female with three could very well be her. They're cubs of the year, or it could be some completely different bear. You know, a lot of the bears that are down in the Flathead Valley, you know, around, you know, Ronan, St. Ignatius, Arlee, you know, do come over in the 9 Mile Range, spend some time, you know, up around He Wolf, She Wolf, you know, then they'll go back down over into the Rattlesnakes, over into the Missions, then come back. So they cover a lot of country.
I have a question.
Yeah.
I'm Lyle. How many grizzlies are at Fish Creek?
So Fish Creek, you know, south of the I-90s are there. You know, it's tough for them to get across. We just had a grizzly roadkill by Drummond last week. He was hit by about four different vehicles, and quite a rollover situation there. We've had grizzlies get south of Interstate 90 here in Alberton. Like years ago, we had the 9 Mile Grizzly. I think it was 2001. He was crisscrossing and getting across Interstate 90 at various spots. You know, the two bridge spans at the base of 9 Mile, 6 Mile. Then he actually came down the West Side Road and then went right through the middle of the Bible School and crossed at the Pier Bridge and then was up by West Mountain Creek. And up West Mountain Creek, he actually got up on a porch when someone was watching TV, little tiny house feet was up against the screen door, and they felt something brush their feet, and they looked up here. There's the 9 mile grizzly, 2 feet away from her, you know, and on the other side of that bear we had to destroy too. But right now, you know, we got bears showing up in the Idaho country, the big hole country. We don't really know how many are down there, but there a few of them are getting across, and I wouldn't be surprised if we don't get a female, you know, sweeping across and having a young, you know, within the next 5-10 years.
They've been down there for over 30 years.
Yeah, there have been, like, not a solid population that they can document that, you know, females reproducing, but yeah, a lot of lone grizzlies have been documented down there.
Sir, I didn't catch your name.
Herman Lund.
Herman Lund. Thank you, Herman. I appreciate that.
And I've got a really good PowerPoint presentation if ever the town wants to know everything on earth about all the grizzly activity around here. About an hour-long presentation. I'd sure be happy to do that some evening.
Wonderful. That sounds like something we could schedule. Yeah. Thank you, Jamie.
Yep.
I appreciate that. And technically, Jamie didn't have a timeline scheduled because I'm putting him under my report. I had heard his report at our most recent Bear Smart meeting, and I thought it was important that the community got to hear it. And for those of you who are not aware, the meetings are all recorded. So that's the reason that we're verifying whose name and who's talking so that we can get it correct for the record. And then I'm explaining maybe a little bit more because of the recording and why we want to run the meeting more succinctly and more professionally, especially for the benefit of the recording so that things are not like a big jumble of talking. So with that, next is a staff report. Dylan, did you have a staff report this time?
I don't.
Okay, very good. Then we will move right on to our Public Works Manager, Charlie Jenkins. And typically, we have Charlie also give the engineer's report, but this evening, Paul Montgomery is here. So even though it's not specified on the agenda, you are following Charlie. Very good. Charlie?
Okay. Public Works Manager. Got the story walk put together. Blue. That all looks good. If everybody needs a little inspiration, you can go read a story and walk around the path. It's really nice. We got the Elkton sidewalk project. We've had some talks come through about that. There was an open house at the school. I was unable to attend, so don't really have a lot on that, but things are moving forward on that. It's tentatively for next summer. I sailed the lagoon with John Paddock from Montana Rural Water, and we did some sludge judging out in the lagoons, so that was a highlight. We did a smoke test at the school as well. Yes, we did. The results on that, we verified that the roof does indeed drain into sanitary sewer. So that is a situation that we need to remedy. So further on that, I have yet to speak with the superintendent about this issue, but she knows that we need to have a little talk, and that's definitely part of it. And I went to the Kalispell Water School last week, and it was okay. Other than that, I guess we'll wait till old business. And yeah, pretty good on it. Things.
Okay, I had one thing I wanted to say about the sidewalk project. Okay. I did attend that open house, and just for council's benefit, I wanted you to know that there is additional monies that have been requested to the tune of about $150,000 So between now and next month, we will be visiting that so that you can have some additional information about that. This had to do with, there was a scope meeting. This all started in 2001.
2021.
Okay, so I was right the first time. And so it needs to be moved forward on, or I don't know if I'm correct about this, but I had heard they would lose the funding. So we need to get the sidewalk project done, but we also want to understand the total scope. And this open house meeting talked about, and also I talked with Charlie as well, and we spoke with Scott.
Fanning,
right, from the project that is from Morrison Merrily, and people from the community whose properties have been affected by the sidewalk have come forward and talked. And so there's some changes that have been made, there's things that have been removed from the plan, but we have a lot to talk about there. That's another $1 million project here happening in Opportunity.
Yeah, the thing about the sidewalk project too, it's within the right-of-way of the MDT's state highway, which is Railroad Avenue. So we're not exactly the driver of the bus.
Nope, we're not.
It's an interesting kind of thing. So there's been a couple things that we're kind of like looking at with the project that we're like, well, one of the major situations is the fact that in front of the school, in front of the elementary school, it's not paved. It's paved about a foot off of the fog line, and then it's just dirt for the rest of that. That's one of the big situations. And the other one is all of the work in this town that needs to be done on storms and water, because basically both sides of Railroad all drain to that point. They go to the school and crosses underneath Railroad and goes into those bar ditches, and I'm sure everybody's aware that our situation with storm sewer is not that great, and so it's trying to mitigate them doing pouring a bunch of brand new concrete and making these fancy little approaches that don't really serve us, or if we want to do something about it later, you know, the necessity of tearing up brand new concrete and things of that nature. So it's been a bit of a struggle in the communication with Morrison and Merrily and the MDT, but we've recently come around to having some conversations about it, and not a ton has come out yet, but there will be more conversations and more information to share coming up for sure. But tentatively, it's nothing this summer. We're supposed to break ground next summer is the tentative idea. So there's still time on that realm of things. The only other thing,
Can I answer the question real quick?
Yes, sir.
Tim Fox, Town Council. So who's the representative that we would want to talk to? Because I feel like if we're hearing about a lot of project changes and requests for additional funding from this project, I would really appreciate if we would have a representative from whoever's actually in the driver's seat of this project. Like, as you said, we're not, apparently. If we could have someone from Morrison Merrily or, you know, the sidewalk project board or something, we could get them. Yeah. Well, maybe we could have them here in the council meets, so we could have this on the record and have more information available to the public as well. Is there a way we can get in touch and request that there at the next meeting?
Yeah, Joel, we do have the main contact guy is Joel from MDT, MDT, and then Scott Fanning is kind of a more senior type of engineer with Morrison and Merrily running this project. There was a kid that came out here from Morrison and Merrily, and his name was Ty, and he's going to be kind of the active kid doing taking on this project a lot, but it was also like his first week when he came out here, and so...
Yeah. Well, we're not trying to run him over the grill or anything. We just want to have some contacts and more information. So.
I get it. Yes.
Sure. And he was much more up to speed when I visited with him at the open house, so I think he's...
Ty,
yeah, he was.
Yeah, and he's a good kid.
Yeah, yeah, so he's on it.
Yeah. The last thing I would say is in your water bill, the water bills that came out, there is a CCR that apparently got put in with them, and I was not a part of that, and so... I don't know, be what it may, we either will or will not revoke that, and we'll see what happens with that. So, okay. And any other questions?
Thank you, Charlie.
Yep.
Good report.
Okay.
Paul?
Paul Montgomery, Anderson Montgomery Consulting Engineers. I want to talk a little bit about the project we wrapped up in 2025 and then some new projects that the town is undertaking, so I will take things in that order. As far as the water project that we wrapped up in 2025, essentially the grants and loan spending status has not changed since about March, so we are going to be... There's about $30,000 left in the SRF forgiven principal, and then there's over $130,000 left in Albertson's local contribution. We'll be able to complete this project well within our contractual budget. We'll probably have two more invoices, likely. We'll submit one this month for consideration at the next town council meeting. And then one in October after we have done our one-year warranty inspection in September. So we can put that one in our rearview mirror. The project status, I have some things for Charlie here. As promised, we have all of our curated construction photos and they're bookmarked and so on. So if you want to see, you know, an address on Railroad Avenue, it's every one of them is in a different folder for Railroad and Meadowview and so on and so forth. So that's that. And then this is essentially the project manual, all of the project submittals, the equipment and materials that were put in the ground. So those are yours. And our post-construction obligations are done except for the one-year warranty inspection. Like I said, it's going to be in September 2026. And then, like I mentioned here, in the meantime, we'll keep on RLC to repair any construction issues that are a consequence of that project. And they're on the hook until October. Okay? So just let me know, just keep if we have any more problems.
Sure.
The other element of that project was the water right for the town's spring source. That recently had some forward movement here. DNRC declared that the application for expanding that water right was complete. So the DNRC has 60 days to make a preliminary determination on whether they're going to grant that additional water right. You'll remember the town was using more than its water right. So we applied for the town to capture all of the water that's coming out of that spring. So 60 days from May 28th, DNRC is going to make a decision on granting that right. And then the town has to initiate a 30-day public comment period, and then the DNRC consider those comments after that 30-day period. That's 30 days to do so. If there are no adverse comments, that additional water right will be granted. So hopefully things will be on track there, and I will inform you of if there's any adverse comments. Well, I'll inform you what the DNR's decision is, and then the town has to do the 30-day comment period, so you'll be receiving those public comments if there are any. All right, so that's the water project. It's twilighting right now. Next, other matters, the $1 million special appropriation grant. has been completed, and we submitted that to EPA, but as you might expect, the federal government has other things that are, other elements that are not so easy to navigate. So I have to also prepare a federal assistance grant form on their app, on their website, grants.gov. So there's a stack of applications I need to complete. But in order to do that, I need to coordinate with Jalen to be declared a grant writer through that grant, grants.gov, and hopefully we can wrap that up this week. The forms are pretty simple, so once that's done, I should be able to get those done quickly, and we can move ahead with nailing down that $1 million grant. We have essentially taken care of all the environmental assessment roadblocks that, are out there, so I don't expect we're going to have to do any additional environmental review or EA or a categorical exclusion. And then lastly on that, the EPA grant coordinator is handling this grant, asked the town to prepare a letter stating that the town has requested procurement flexibility as outlined, blah, blah, blah. That was an email I sent to you, I think, in early May. So that needs to be done in order to, I guess, get around any procurement questions that they have about how you guys hired us. But we followed, you guys followed all the rules.
Right.
And so on. So I don't know what the issue is there, but you know, sometimes it's best just to grin and write the letter and submit it.
No problem.
Okay. So that's that $1 million grant, along with an SRF loan, is going to be used to build the town another storage tank. It's going to be directly adjacent to the existing 300,000-gallon tank. It's going to be 200,000 gallons, so you'll have 500,000 gallons of water storage. So this was part of the prioritized list of improvements to the town's water system that was developed back in about 2002 or so. So a new while ago. Anyway, so that's that project. We're lining up money for it. The design was largely completed when we did the design for the 2024-2025 project, but it was unaffordable to include building that at that time. So when $1 million kind of fell in the town's lap, we decided to go ahead and build that tank. So I think that's a really good addition to the town's water system, because you are growing. And then finally, the town went through procurement in February and March of this year to undertake improvements to its wastewater and stormwater system. And we were chosen to also help the town with that. So today, Charlie and I toured the wastewater treatment facility, talked about permitting and so on and so forth. And so we are beginning that process. And I'm going to draft, once I get kind of get my arms around the scope here, as far as the wastewater improvements that are needed, as well as stormwater, and I'm going to talk to you about what's going on at the school and so on. So I'll draft an engineering agreement to cover planning, grant writing, and administration and public involvement, and doing preliminary design for the water and stormwater improvements that the town wants to take on. So we'll have that ready for the July Town Council meeting. One thing that you mentioned, coordinating with Morrison Merrily for with the sidewalk project, I think that's going to be imperative. We kind of hit the ground running with what the scope of the stormwater improvements is going to be. So you said Scott Fanning is the kind of point man?
Yes.
I'll get a hold of him and we'll just open up some communications. So I'd like to see what our ultimate project is designed. So that's it. Well, I do have one last thing. I wasn't going to say this, but I'm going to be retiring in November of 2027. So let's get as much as we can done before we hand this off to the, and we are hiring two new engineers at our company, both very competent graduates of MSU. So once I'm gone, we will still be holding the town's trust, hopefully, and moving ahead with the project. So we won't get done with wastewater, obviously.
Right.
While
we'll
I'm
start.
Still around. So just
yeah.
Let
you
know.
Well,
thank you.
Thank
congratulations.
Thank you for that.
You're going to pick a better college.
And it's amazing that...
Herman's going to follow me out the door, too.
We thought that just getting that $1 million check was the answer, and we were set to go with the tank, but it's interesting. It's not that easy. We still have many steps to do, so I'm really grateful that you're a part of this.
We do, and lining up additional funding through SRF is really helpful, and then one bit of bad news is that the SRF program is not granting forgiven principle for
right.
communities that get these special appropriation grants.
Right.
So keeping costs to a minimum and looking at different options for saving costs but not cutting corners is going to be, kind of high on the priority list for this project. So, taking on another SRF loan is going to have user rate impacts. So I'm keenly aware of that and trying to keep costs low. I did send an email to the town about the strategy for buying the tank outside the scope of hiring a general contractor. And that's something that we've done in the past. You can save some money as far as contractor markup. So I will look into that as well. There's a trade-off. You can save money in purchase of the tank, but you're going through two procurement processes. You have to go out for bids for buying the tank, and then you have to go out for bids for the general contractor to essentially acquire it and install it. So if it looks like there is a significant advantage to having two different procurements, that's the way I'll recommend.
Thank you. Yeah, that's good.
All right.
Council, did you have any questions, Paul?
I do not.
Town? Did you public here have a question for Paul? Thank you for that report.
Yeah.
That's quite thorough. Appreciate it. And now, Charlie, again on old business, we're going to talk about dust abatement and road maintenance, perhaps. Maybe not, because we have not received any additional bits of information. Is that right? Or
not a ton. Spoke with Shannon, and it's next year. We can definitely try to jump on the bandwagon with the county. They're talking in the neighborhood of like $3,000. The quotes we got are significantly more, and so in terms of like this year, if we could put some funds, towards more gravel and sprucing up the roads that weren't part of the project, we could also. I didn't speak with the county in terms of the water truck, but if there was a situation where we could just use water, this summer, try to knock some dust down that way. I don't know. It's a tough situation. Those bids were significantly high, and there's really, if we feel like that's something we want to do, it's up to council. And if not, I don't know. I didn't expect the bids to be that high for sure, and I don't know.
It was pretty disappointing, and I did calls as well, and I was baffled how could there be only two potential companies that we could get a bid from, but
I found nothing more either. So good work on looking into that before Charlie. It's will be sent for next year, and we'll see what we can do for this. Council, did you have a comment?
Yeah. So I think the next thing we should probably do with this then is at the next meeting we can review those quotes again. Is that something that, and possibly like make sure that people who are going to be affected by this decision, whatever the decision may be, are aware of the meeting so we can have some comment, because I think the most important people to hear about are the people who are going to be affected. So I'd really like to get their opinion. And perhaps we could also, that next meeting will be after we've done our, or like during our budget meeting, is that right? So, yeah, well, we have an option to have some information about how that kind of project is going to fit into our current budget as well. I think there's a lot of information that I don't quite have in front of me at the moment. So if you're looking for a decision on that tonight, I'd move that we suspend or table it until the next meeting, where we can have some more input from the public and some more information on what that is impact is going to be on the town financially.
Well, Charlie talked about the water truck too, so
yeah.
We have a potential option.
Well, I made a motion.
You made a motion?
Yes, I moved to the list until next meeting, where we can have input from the town and have more information about the town's financial situation.
Okay, so we have a motion on the floor to table this item and wait until next month when we have more information and can alert the public who would be interested in commenting.
So I have a comment.
When we have a motion on the floor, there's public comment time. Usually happens before, but...
I didn't hear that.
We'll second.
Okay,
second.
So we have a second. Prior to calling the question, can you state your name again?
Hermelio.
Thank you, Ryan.
I've called, I don't know how many times down the town over the years for this dust abatement. I live right on a road. I'm tired of the dust. I pay taxes. We all pay taxes. We all get our fuel taxes. Like this year, they didn't plow much, so there wasn't much for road into that stuff. And I'm tired of it. You guys want my taxes. You guys want our money. You want everything from us. But we're not getting nothing in return. I've lived in this town my whole life. I've owned land over there for over 25 years. When I bought the land, they dust invaded it until the last mayor, or not, two before her, he quit doing it. And I called, I don't know how many times. And every time I call down, everybody says, well, we don't have, nobody ever bitches about it. But I've called several times over the last 7 years. And my problem is I work out of town all the time. So this is, lucky I'm working in town, Missoula. So I'm here, and I'm tired of it. I want you guys to spend money and put it on the roads. You know, dust to silica dust, that's not good for people's lungs. My wife's got asthma and stuff, and it's not good for everybody in this town. And we all should be tired of it. And it's not right. It's been something that should be addressed months ago, not right now when it's getting dusty. And also another thing, too, is we put thousands of dollars into all this new stuff over on our end of town, the new road base. Well, if we don't do anything, it's all going to end up right down on Railroad Avenue. That's what it always does. It always just washes down the hill. When you take that dust abatement, it kind of seals it, and then water runs on top of it, and it goes down. So, I mean, we need to do something about it this year, not next year. It's June now.
Yeah.
It's getting dusty.
That's the input we need. Thank you.
Yeah.
No.
You know, if we wait, then it gets too dry.
Okay. Thank you for your comment. So we are looking into that. And sure, I don't know your name.
David Lusk.
David, thank you.
I'm just a little uneducated at what dust abatement entails exactly. Is that like, is there a special something that goes on it, and we just have gravel over the roads? I was a little lost with...
Charlie, would you like to address his question?
We got two different quotes. One of them is for an actual oil emulsion, which I have never, I've never dealt with. I'm sure I've seen it. However, I don't fully know. And
so that's toxic.
The other one is mag chloride. So
it's the same stuff you spray on the highways.
Jalen, you had a comment?
So we contacted the Mineral County in order to find out what they do about dust abatement. And they stated that there are a couple other towns that they also take care of. But in order to get on their schedule each year, which they do before Memorial Day, that their schedule is created in January. So in order to get on their schedule for them to come do dust abatement for the town of Alberton, we would have to have that on their schedule by January, which means we're too late in order to get on the schedule for this year. So we inquired about if they had any recommendations for other organizations that do dust abatement. They gave us the name of a company that's out of Bonners Ferry, Idaho. They said they're regularly in the area doing Forest Service roads and private subdivisions, and they came highly recommended. So they were contacted and asked to give us a quote. They did contact us back, but they are still working on the quote for what it would cost to do that this year. In the future, however, the Mineral County stated that it would take approximately 1 ton of dust abatement product, that is the magnesium chloride, to do approximately 1,500 linear feet of a road, about 20 feet wide. So the linear feet for the road was added up. It's the amount that we would have for the town is 6,585 linear feet, which would cost just a little bit over $1,600 for the product itself. Plus, he said there would be labor for the county to come do it. We would be required to do the grading ourselves, and which I understand our skid steer is not heavy enough to do the quality of grading required, which is why we need the water truck for the grading as well as the dust abatement, but they said they would supply the water for it. And they said based on inflation and the increased cost in the magnesium chloride each year, they wanted a cushion. So in order to give us a quote for next year, it was approximately $3,000. But in order to do it this year, we are still waiting on a quote from that other company. It's the only other company we've been able to find that possibly may be less than the $9,000 to $12,000 that we were quoted by the two quotes that Charlie was able to get a hold of.
Thank you for that. So we are looking into this and we are working on it. Does anyone else from the public have a comment before I call the question? Sure.
So I live in an HOA in St. Regis. We have 2 miles of road. We do calcium chloride. It costs about $10,000 for about 2 miles worth of road. They're coming in 6 days. So maybe I can get a hold of them, see if they could get in touch with Charlie. If you guys want to do like calcium chloride.
Actually,
okay.
To the town.
But
yeah.
Maybe that's an option.
And then, yeah.
I wish
thank
I
you.
Had a company name.
I appreciate that input. Garth?
Garth Reby. The two companies that you had gotten quotes from, I used to haul magnesium chloride for a company out of Missoula, and I could contact him to see if he knows of anybody in the nearby areas that applies it. Maybe somebody you don't know of. So I'll contact him and see if he knows of anybody, just to kind of give you a resource if there's somebody.
Thank you, Garth. This is good. Good networking.
And
thank you, Sarah.
Very good.
Chris.
When was the last time it was done?
Was it 17, Charlie?
Yeah.
2017.
So this is a good example of when responsibilities are dropped from the government and the town.
Yes.
Not blaming anybody, but the momentum it causes. We're all here talking about this extremely expensive thing to do on the street, which they had been doing every year for years until 10 years ago. They stopped doing it. Well, in 10 years, things get more expensive. So to be floored at the expense when you haven't looked at it for 10 years, I'm struggling with this a lot.
That's
And it's an example of why it's so important to run a town properly. So these things don't happen. So we're not sitting here arguing about something that is such a common sense solution to the town, but because it was ignored for 10 years, now it's a big deal, and it shouldn't be.
Thank you for your comment.
I've called the response.
I'm ready to call the question if there's no additional comment from the public or council. Call the question, Jalen.
Tim?
No.
No to table the
you
abatement?
Don't want to table?
That's right.
Kyle?
I guess we'll table it.
So, yes on the motion?
Yes.
So the motion does not carry. We will move forward then to new business. We have a proposed resolution to accept the minutes as written. This is consent agenda. Yes, you have a question, Jeff?
I thought we were not tabling this and we were still on this topic.
We were tabling it because that was the motion. You motioned to table it.
And then I voted no.
So we're now moving on to the next item on the agenda.
I'm sorry, did I misunderstand?
Perhaps.
The motion was to table it, and then I did not vote to table it.
Okay, and so the motion didn't carry. But we don't have all of the information yet is part of the conversation that occurred. And so...
Well, I still have some stuff to say about it, I guess.
Oh.
Yeah. This is exactly the kind of comment that I was actually looking for, hoping we could get people who are invested in this topic. And yeah, like common sense, four Albertson kind of stuff is exactly what I really wanted to hear. I know we've had some suggestions that we could get some more, you know, quotes and bids on this, but the point about waiting another month well into the drier seasons to get some movement on this is not lost on me. And so, you know, having heard that and having heard some of the stuff of the town, like, I don't know, I honestly, like, I am conscious of the fact that we do want to run this town responsibly, spend the town's money well, but this is a very commonly done practice, and prices have come up, and, you know, I think that we have to pay more because we didn't get it submitted in January to get on with the county. That's what we've got to do because I don't want to have people having a hard time with dust. So that's kind of where I'm at. I would like to make another motion after we've got some more discussion on that.
Okay. Well, part of the discussion was that there are other options, and so we really aren't able to move forward on deciding anything tonight until we have more data. Shannon, did you have something to add?
Yes, I'm going to approach it from the budget point of view. We haven't done this in 10 years. This isn't in the budget. So we are coming up to the end of our year at the end of June. So the fact is we may not have the money to do this. Just want to say that out loud.
And we kind of sort of won't know that until we go through the budget meeting, which happens mid-July-ish. We will be doing the visiting of the budget. That is our budget amendment meeting. We talked about it the last meeting. And so I think that your original thought to table this for now, because we need additional information, is a good move. And it doesn't mean we're forgetting it. We're not putting it away and not visiting it again, but that we don't have the information to deal with it this evening.
What can we do to make sure that we deal with it in a timely manner without having to wait an entire month and without also having to call another special meeting to deal with dust abatement? Because, I mean, if we have to do that, we have to do that, but,
right.
Like, you know, I really want to be conscious of people's time, both in the sense that they're experiencing something that the town should take care of,
mm-hmm.
and also in the sense that we don't want to get people out here all the time for every little thing we don't handle on time, you know?
Certainly.
So is there a way we can maybe, I don't know, make this decision ahead of time and, like, just pre-authorize the most cost-effective solution when it becomes available to us?
Sort of, but not really, because we don't have it in the budget. So if we were to put this into our meeting for a council meeting before we're doing the budget amendment meeting, so that's the soonest time that we could look at this without scheduling a special meeting. Now, we have one other comment on the floor I'm going to go to, and then we'll come back. Yeah. Okay, good. And I don't remember your name, sir.
Greg.
Thank you, Greg.
Thank you.
So it seems to me that this is going to be a long, ongoing thing, and maybe we should look at buying equipment. There's multi-use vehicles. I mean, the DOT does it all the time. They have dump trucks that have inserts. On a smaller scale, maybe one ton with a sprayer, I don't know, but people do it everywhere. And waiting for somebody to get a quote that might happen in August isn't going to help anyone.
Well, yeah, I appreciate what you're saying about the quote in August, and normally this isn't a conversation, but I'll just respond to that because we're trying to figure out how to move forward with this, Greg. So the quote, we put this on the agenda for tonight because we're anticipating the quote was going to arrive today. We'll probably get it tomorrow.
Right, but what I was going forward to is for 10 years we're going to do this.
Sure.
We're probably going to spend way more subbing it out to somebody than we are having our own request explained to
them. Possibly. That's a good point, Greg, and we will look into what equipment it would require and if that's something that we have available to us. So we'll add that to our
People in town used to do it years ago. They had an old tank that they drove behind a truck and sprayed.
Are you aware of an old tank, Charlie?
Yeah, this is Joe Hansen's. I don't think anybody. They get one with the junkyard.
So we could look into that. Thank you, Herman. I appreciate that input. That's good. Kyle,
town council. I really want to say that I feel for everyone's opinions on these things. And as we go forward, I mean, I've been on this for a few years. In my 3 years in here, there has been lack of public comment. Like, I didn't know that you were calling the office about abatements. A lot of these things didn't filter through. There was very poor communication there for a while. So I'm really glad to see that people are speaking up, becoming involved. If it were up to me, I'd say we just spend the night and get it done. But it doesn't work that way, unfortunately. And we should have more infrastructure vehicles and things as we go forward. And the more that people show up, voice their opinion, give us some real feedback that we need to fight for this town. I mean, I'm all on board for it. So I do hope that we get what we need to make this happen. I hope we can take closer looks at our infrastructure and machinery that's available to us. And things have gotten more expensive, but that also means that we should be bringing in more as a town and have more available to spend on things that matter. And my vote's always going to be to try to make this town better every year. So I think we should look at the budget. I think that we need to really, really crunch some numbers. And if we got to throw some numbers to the wind to get things done, that's going to be what we need to do.
Good comment, Kyle.
That's all I got.
I've just become aware of a location where we can look at surplus equipment. So it's entirely possible that we will have some other options available for us. Chris, did you have an additional comment?
Yeah, it's one of the things that's brought up frequently in these town council meetings or in discussions. The town is broke. And it always comes down to, well, the town is broke. And that's okay as long as you acknowledge why the town is broke. If you acknowledge why the town is broke, then you can understand that's why you don't have any money to do anything for the town, because you're not running the town in a way that generates income and revenue like every other town in this country does. You don't do that here. Not you, Madam Mayor, but the previous administrations have never done that. So then when you try to bring this to everyone's attention and say you should have fines and ordinances and things to run a proper town, you get crucified. Because the previous administrations in this town haven't done it for decades, now no one even knows what the baseline common sense is. Baseline, what you provide in a town. There's a baseline, and you need finances for that. And if you don't finance it, you don't have it. So we can always complain that we can't do anything for the town because we're broke. Why? Because we are not running the town in the responsible manner in which we should be.
I would like to add to that. Kyle, what's up?
Thank you, Kyle.
I hear you back there. The money comes from the people that live here in the town. And as it sits, we have people who can't afford to pay their water bills right now. We have people who struggle just with their day-to-days. So we could cram that on the residents, upset people, and raise, you know, for money that, quite frankly, people are going to struggle to pay. So, I mean, I see that, but there is this other side of it where there are residents here that struggle, and that is the town. So it comes from people. So if we can't find this balance where people are going to be okay with and stabilize themselves, then that becomes irrelevant. And then you force people to leave, you change the community, and then we become to look, you know, we start to look like places that we don't really want to see. So I think it's important to find the balance before we get upset about that. I'd like to see people paying their bills comfortably, living comfortably. There's a reason that we live here. It is less expensive. It's easier to deal with. And that needs to be the most important thing. So we're going to struggle with budgets. We're going to struggle with dollars. And once again, we need to look at the budget. We got some fresh eyes in here, trying to get some more fresh ones. And we're going to keep turning this around until we figure it out. But pressing our residents is not the immediate answer to this problem.
I'm just going to give a little piece of information. The way that Montana has chosen to do their budget and so that it filters down to us, we're getting less money than we used to because of the changes that they made. So this isn't all on us as a town. We're getting less from the state. We're getting less probably from the county too. So, and it's about 22% less. So everybody's having to do more with less. It's tough. And we do our budget annually and we pick the categories, you know, based on the information we have, historical and current, and we put it in those categories. And because we're government, we can't just spend it. It, you know, a certain amount goes to roads, a certain amount goes to water, sewer, that sort of thing. And so we have to live within that budget. And we're coming down to the end of our fiscal year, and we will be doing a new budget for next year. And trust me, road abatement, dust abatement will be in next year's budget, because now we know hasn't been done in 10 years. We need to continue to do it. I do happen to know one of the things we do need to do with our roads is we do need to grade them and get them in better condition for what we want to do. So, you know, we're going to try and move this forward. That's sorry, that means that we were out of time. I do want to say that we are specifically asking for new dust abatement places because $9,000 to $12,000, we can't swing that. We don't have that money. But we could probably swing 3, 4, somewhere in there. And so that's why we're, you know, all these ones that people are coming up with, we want to know about them, because if we can get that cost down, we might be able to do it.
No, right? I agree. I mean, that's,
yeah.
I don't want
I don't want our tax dollars to just be squandered to somebody else, but it's just,
right.
It's just that I have called probably once a year for 7 years or 8 years.
Yeah.
And every time I talk to a new town council person, or not person, not the town council, but the clerks and everything, they're like, well, I've never heard this. Nobody says anything. And
yeah.
I talked to the same one 3 different times. This before you guys,
yeah.
And she said she never heard it.
Yeah.
And I've even talked to the last mayor. I talked to her personally. And she guaranteed me it was going to get done.
Yeah.
Twice, and it never got done.
She never mentioned that to any of us. It was never brought to any of our meetings.
So, it's because, like I'm saying, I'm rarely home. And he's rarely here, too. So, I mean, we don't, so it's hard for me to come to the meeting.
Well, I appreciate that you're here tonight, Herman, and we do hear your comments.
No, I agree. I mean, I agree with almost everything you said.
Thank you.
So, I mean, I understand. It is what it is.
It is what it is. You're right. And we are doing our level best to take care of the situation. And so, something's going to happen. Paul?
One thing I would do, was it Garth?
Yes.
Yeah. If you find another company that is willing to provide a quote, make sure that it's in square feet rather than lineal feet of road, because one of these quotes for the oil emulsion, they actually calculated, you have narrow streets here in Alberton, and they took into account that narrowness. Rockland is 10 feet wide rather than 20. The other, the mag chloride dust control, weed dust control, just had it in lineal feet. So they're going to benefit if they did rock ledge that's 10 feet wide and charge it for a 20-foot wide road. These guys need to redo their quote based on square foot.
I know weed dust control. I was wondering if you got a hold of them. So.
Yep.
I wasn't supposed to disclose that.
The information that I provided to them, these guys came out and drove the roads and measured. I provided this to them, but I fully understand what you're saying in terms of, like, is it square foot rather than linear, and how does that go? So, I mean, it would be worth a good phone call to them for sure. But, I would say, in terms of a long-term solution, we need to get our own program going. We need to get our own equipment. We need to get... the two biggest things on my wish list would have been like a dump truck and a tanker truck. Instead, we bought a dump trailer, and I would say a tanker trailer. Something that we can mitigate any kind of sewer backup. I mean, we could flush our own sewer mains, but there would be a huge advantage for having a tanker trailer. And then it's something that can be hooked up to the town truck and drive around, things of that nature. That doesn't solve our solution this year, unless we were to like purchase that and then perhaps just continuously water the roads. Water also knocks the dust down. It would be a thing. It would have to be like weekly, if not more. That would be my only kind of other solution, but we'll definitely look onto this. And then in terms of like, if there is a way to fast track any kind of decision made, I would present the idea that when council bought the town truck, it was like the mayor, I've talked to Marvin about this, and he said the way that it went down was the mayor just called each individual council member and explained the situation, and we fairly well know the situation. Say, this is the quote we came up with. Do you vote yes or no? Do you vote yes or no? Whatever. And there is not really a necessity for a full meeting. These types of things would need to be clarified with Jalen and the mayor, but I do believe that there could be an alternate solution in terms of voting as well.
Thank you for mentioning that, Charlie. We will check into that and make sure that if that is a potential way that we could fast track this situation, we will do that. Very good. We'll now move forward to new business, and we have a proposed resolution. This is in order to
accept the minutes as written and proposing.
Mayor. That's it. Oh, I apologize.
Do you have a consent agenda? Did you have something to add there, Jaylen?
I apologize. I numbered them the other way. It's okay.
Are you out of order?
Yeah.
What happened? All right. Thank you. Moving forward, we are going to read, I will read resolution number 355, a resolution establishing a consent agenda for regular town council meetings. Whereas the town of Alberton Town Council holds regular scheduled meetings at which routine reoccurring matters, including but not limited to meeting minutes, claims, and payroll, are presented for council review and approval, and whereas review and individual approval of each routine matter at every council meeting consumes significant meeting time that could be better devoted to deliberation on substantive town business, and whereas a consent agenda allows routine, non-controversial items to be grouped together and approved in a single motion, provided that all supporting documentation is made available to council members in advance of the meeting, and whereas the use of a consent agenda is consistent with standard parliamentary practice and is widely used by municipalities throughout the state of Montana and across the country, and whereas the establishment of a consent agenda in no way diminishes council oversight, as any council member may request that any item be removed from the consent agenda and considered separately prior to the vote, and whereas this resolution supports efficient and effective local government while maintaining full transparency and accountability, now therefore be it resolved by the Town Council of the Town of Alberton that 1. A consistent agenda shall be established for regularly scheduled town council meetings, which may include, but is not limited to, the following routine items: approval of meeting minutes, approval of claims, approval of payroll, and other routine items as determined by the council. Number 2, all consent agenda items and supportive documentation shall be made available to council members prior to the meeting in accordance with the town's standard agenda distribution practices. At the beginning of each meeting, the presiding officer shall ask whether any council member wishes to remove any item from the consent agenda for separate consideration. Any council member may request removal of any item without stating a reason, and such item shall be considered separately during the regular order of business, and if no items are removed, the consent agenda shall be approved in its entirety by a single motion, second, and majority vote. Passed, adopted by the Town Council and Mayor of the Town of Alberton, Union County, State of Montana, this second day of June 2026. And then there's two signatures for myself and the clerk, Jay Lynn, to attest. And just for everyone's information, now that I have read through that, should the council elect to remove an item from the consent agenda after the consent agenda then has been motioned and seconded to approve it and we move forward, the next item on the agenda then will be the item pulled out of the consent, and then at that point in time it will be discussed and dealt with separately as council has deemed it needed to be pulled out. Jay Lynn.
For the record, was it your intent to change the word under number 1, consent, to consistent? The recording is the official version of the resolution, and that word was changed from consent to consistent, and I wanted to confirm the change.
No, I did not intend that change. So number 1 reads, a consent agenda shall be established for regularly scheduled town council meetings, which may include, but is not limited to, the following routine items: approval of meeting minutes, approval of claims, approval of payroll, and other routine items as determined by the council.
Thank you.
Thank you for catching me on my slip of the tongue there. Council. comment?
So in plain English, this is a resolution to allow us to move more quickly through boilerplate agenda stuff, such as the minutes, claims, and not have to do a vote on both of those. Would it also include quarterly reports, mayor's report, and staff reports?
No, because there is no vote on any of those items. So the consent agenda is for items that are voted on by the council. And if there's, and that you will be receiving the information in advance. And so if there's something that you want clarification on, believe there should be discussion on, it would be pulled out of the consent agenda. But this is an attempt and a response toward comment of the long meetings. And this is a way in which our meetings can be streamlined, you are correct.
Excellent.
No comment for the comment from council? Does the public have any comments regarding the consent agenda or question? Seeing none? Oh, Karen.
I've been coming to meetings for half a century now, 50 years I've lived here in Galveston. The meetings used to be much shorter. I am not sure what has happened. It has made them drag out. And I hope if this process is adopted, it cuts them shorter. We've had four meetings. This is the fourth week in a row of meeting here. They've come. Many of us have come. It's getting a little bit overbearing. We care about this town and love the town. We need to cut it short.
Agreed.
Thank you for your comment. Any additional comments? Council, I would entertain a motion.
Well, first.
I'll second that motion.
So Kyle,
what is the motion?
You have to say it.
Kyle first did, but he didn't state the motion.
The motion to approve the change for resolution 355.
And Tim has seconded that motion. So motion on the floor to approve of a consent agenda in future meetings, seconded as well. Call question, Jalen.
Kyle?
Yes.
Tim?
Yep.
Motion carries. Thank you. We will now hopefully have a motion on the meeting on the consent agenda. Lovely. Next item is a proposed resolution to pay reoccurring claims out of cycle to prevent late fees and penalties. Part of this has come around in the interest of streamlining meetings, but mostly because we had hiccups in our meetings last month, the claims went out late and hopefully we didn't incur any penalties, but we did have people calling and wondering where their money was. So, I will now read Resolution 354, a resolution to authorize out-of-cycle payment of claims to prevent late fees and penalties and to authorize use of town credit card and ACH online payments. Whereas the Town of Alberton Town Clerk's Office has identified instances in which reoccurring monthly obligations, including but not limited to utility bills, lease payments, and other scheduled monthly claims, have due dates that occur prior to a regularly scheduled town council meeting for claims approval. And whereas certain town vendors and service providers maintain town payment information on file, including town credit card information or bank account information for ACH electronic payment, and may process payment on a due date or upon order fulfillment regardless of the town council meeting schedule, and whereas use of the town credit card and electronic payment methods may provide financial and administrative benefits to the town, including but not limited to rewards, rebates, streamline processing, and reduce administrative costs, and whereas regularly scheduled claims are customarily paid following approval at a regularly scheduled town council meeting, and whereas failure to timely pay reoccurring monthly obligations may result in the assessment of late fees and or penalties, and whereas this resolution is consistent with practices adopted by other municipalities in the state of Montana, and whereas the town clerk proposes this resolution to authorize, one, the payment of routine reoccurring monthly obligations prior to a regularly scheduled town council meeting when due dates do not align with the meeting schedule, and two, the use of the town credit card, ACH transfer, or other electronic payment method for authorized purchases and obligations where payment information is maintained on file by the vendor or when such payment method is otherwise in the town's financial interest. And whereas, as a compensating control, all such payments made prior to council approval, whether by check, town credit card, ACH transfer, or other electronic means, shall be fully documented and presented on the subsequent claims report for council review and formal approval, with such claims clearly identified as having been paid prior to approval and the method of payment noted to ensure transparency and maintain council oversight. And whereas town credit card, ACH, and other electronic payment methods shall be used solely for legitimate town business expenses by authorized personnel, and all charges shall be subject to the same documentation and approval requirements as other claims, and whereas this resolution supports fiscal responsibility while maintaining appropriate documentation, review, and accountability consistent with audit standards and internal control expectations, now, therefore, be it resolved by the Town Council of the Town of Alberton that, one, regularly scheduled, reoccurring claims may be paid out of cycle when necessary to avoid late fees and penalties when payment due dates fall prior to a scheduled town council meeting, and two, the town credit card, ACH transfer, or other electronic payment method may be used for authorized town business purchases and obligations, including charges initiated by vendors with town payment information on file, when such methods are in the town's financial or administrative interest, and three, all out-of-cycle payments, credit card charges, ACH transfers, and other electronic payments shall be presented on the subsequent claims report for council review and formal ratification with the method of payment clearly noted. Passed and adopted by the Town Council and Mayor of the Town of Alberton, Mineral County, State of Montana, the second day of June, 2026, approved by myself and attested by JNN. Council, do you have questions or comments?
No.
So just to be clear, because this is a lot of words, I want to make sure that this is what it is. I understand it. So this, in plain English, I might understand that this is a resolution that we allow the town to pay recurring payments in order to avoid late fees and penalties. But I'm also seeing the section on the payment method used for authorized town business, including charges initiated by vendors with town payment information on file. I'm wondering what that might be referring to. Because if they're just initiating a charge, I don't know why it would be that would constitute a late fee.
Shannon, do you have a comment to answer that question?
Yes. Well, let me just say that this is mostly for things like the telephone bill, our electric bill, things like that. At this time, there's very few that have our information. For instance, one of them is Pitney Bowes, our postage machine. When it needs new ink, it orders it itself. And so that is an ACH payment from our bank account, and then they send us the ink.
What does ACH stand for?
Just for Automatic Clearinghouse is what it stands for, and what it is an electronic payment from one bank to another bank. direct deposit is also an ACH.
Anything else, or just that?
Anything else, which?
Well, you made that the main.
The Pitney Bowes is an example. We have very few where they just take money from our account. There's very few things. You know, we want more control over that. We want to know exactly what's going out and when. But, for instance, our postage machine, you don't have a choice. It orders the ink itself, so it has to be able to pay for it. So it's either going to go credit card or ACH. When we put additional postage on the machine, it asks us, do you want to buy the postage? And you have to say yes. But it, again, is one of those things. You have to pay for it at that time. And if I'm in the middle of utility billing, I got to have the postage. It's those kind of things. Nothing, we're not talking loan payments or anything like that. These are mostly small office type administrative things.
Okay.